Hi, this is Lori Janik. Welcome to the Legal Affairs Podcast Series with your host, Finley P. Maxson.
Welcome to the NAR Legal Affairs October podcast. This month, we are going to speak with attorney Elizabeth Miller Bogadanos, senior counsel for the California Association of Realtors. A former litigator, Elizabeth has been in CAR's corporate legal department for a number of years and has come to specialize in a variety of legal and MLS matters. She develops and oversees California's legal and policy program on the MLS, publishes model MLS documents and other legal articles for use throughout the state, and coordinates the CAR MLS Policy Committee. She will be part of a panel discussion at the Risk Management Forum during NAR's annual conference in San Francisco, California, in a program entitled Pocket Listings, Legal, Ethical, and Industry Considerations, along with CAR member Robert Bailey and Bill Lublin, who is the vice chair of NAR's MLS Issues and Procedures Committee. Welcome to the podcast, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Finley.
Pocket listings are a hot topic right now in certain parts of the country. Since California was where this practice first became news, can you give us a little background into the rise of the so-called pocket listing and define the practices that are commonly associated with pocket listings?
Well, a pocket listing is a terminology. I think generally that means a listing is in the proverbial pocket. So in the form of a listing where you could have a formal written listing agreement with the seller, the type of listing agreement that would otherwise trigger mandatory submission requirements into the MLS. But instead, the parties have agreed that this listing will not be submitted into the MLS. So you have a formal written listing agreement, but no MLS submission. The other types of listings that people refer to when they say pocket listings can also mean something known as a sort of a pre-listing or a coming soon listing. And this may involve a writing or not. This is where an agent has engaged an owner in some form of limited marketing arrangement to advertise or sell the owner's property, where the listing agent begins to market the property prior to submitting it in the MLS and possibly prior to actually obtaining a written listing agreement. So in California, a certain amount of pre-listing marketing is going to be legal, but certainly actually taking the listing and having any entitlement to be compensated for that is going to require a written listing agreement. But there's a certain degree of sort of pre-listing marketing that can be going on. And agents will often use the terminology coming soon. So it's unclear whether that means that coming soon, there's no contract, but it will be listed soon, or coming soon means, on the other hand, that the listing has been secured but has not yet been submitted to the MLS. So I think there are a variety of meanings that fall under the terminology of pocket listing, and agents really need to dig a little further to find out exactly what they're dealing with.
Your role on the Risk Management Forum panel is going to be to highlight some of the legal issues raised by pocket listings. What are some of those legal issues?
Well, the bottom line in terms of the big legal question, is a pocket listing legal? It's certainly in California, and I would venture a guess throughout the nation, it is legal. It's not per se unlawful, but the practice raises a number of legal and ethical and practical red flags. The most important one is that real estate licensees owe a fiduciary duty to their clients. In California, we use the terminology fiduciary, and in the rest of the nation, I suppose many of them use that same terminology. So it's a very elevated standard of care that's owed under the law. It's the type of duty where the agent has to consider what's in the best interest of the seller rather than their own. So to the extent that any decision to restrict marketing of a listing and keep it off the MLS, to the extent that that decision has been made by a listing agent more for their benefit and not really for the benefit of the seller's best interest, that really conflicts very much with the level of fiduciary duty that a licensee owes their client. I would say that's probably the biggest concern of this type of practice. There are other legal concerns as well with regard to certain kinds of related activity, which is that agents who are keeping a listing off the MLS quite commonly are still marketing it. It's not on the MLS, but it may or may not be a true pocket listing in the sense that it's something that just one agent knows about and shares that information in a very narrow way. Sometimes that information is shared more broadly with private listing clubs and listing groups. So it's a larger circle than just a small number of people, but it's certainly not as large as the MLS. And involvement in listing clubs where you've actually narrowed your marketing circle can raise a whole number of other legal concerns that touch upon the antitrust laws, especially if there's any type of agreement amongst those participating to fix their commission rates. So the antitrust laws come into play there, and the anti-discrimination and fair housing laws potentially play a role. The fair housing laws come into play with potential disparate impact claims, and that is where the agent has limited their listing exposure to only certain sectors of the market, and it may result in some type of a discriminatory impact regardless of having no intention to discriminate. So to the extent that may reinforce any type of segregated housing patterns, that makes that type of marketing decision a little bit vulnerable to fair housing claims.
Okay, so what resources has CAR created for its members and their clients related to pocket listings?
Well, CAR took a very assertive position on this type of practice, and we have addressed it in many levels. We engaged in sort of a legal and informational campaign geared towards our members and the local associations, the MLSs, and in trying to get legal information and other information out to them in a way that highlighted this issue and gave them tools that they could even use for their own outreach to the public. We've also engaged CAR has, in a consumer-facing campaign where we have compiled a number of communication pieces, op-eds, videos, etc., all designed to educate consumers about the advantages and disadvantages of off-MLS listings. So while normally we are not engaged in consumer-facing campaigns, being a member organization, a member-directed organization, on this particular issue, there's an important consumer component to it, and that's something that we have addressed. So the other ways that we have addressed these issues really come down to elevating the listing agent's disclosure to sellers about this practice and trying to get an elevated level of consent from the seller. And we have attempted to do this by revising our standard residential listing agreement form and our seller exclusion forms that CAR prepares. You know, a good number of agents in the state use our standard forms. And so what we've done is we have now included an elevated level of disclosure that's prominently displayed in our listing agreement form itself. And we have taken several other measures in these forms to elevate disclosure to the sellers through the listing agreement as well as through any seller exemption to MLS submission that a seller would have to sign off on. And we have revised our model MLS rules to require that even if a CAR standard form with this higher level of seller disclosure is not used, that through the MLS rules themselves, any seller exclusion form needs to contain a certain elevated level of listing agent disclosure to the seller.
To sum up, what recommendations do you have for real estate professionals related to pocket listings?
The MLS house is this incredibly valuable that realtors and practitioners have built for them. It's the surest, easiest, and most effective way to ensure full exposure of your seller's listing to the marketplace. It's the source of the most sought-after data and marketing opportunities geared towards those who are best positioned to reach the greatest number of potential buyers, most likely resulting in the best possible price for a seller. So really, in the face of these clear advantages, there would have to be pretty compelling reasons for a seller to forego all that this has to offer. Agents have just got to keep their role as a fiduciary in the forefront. That means any decision to pocket a listing must be made by the seller in an informed way after a meaningful presentation of the pros and cons, and should never be something driven instead by the personal agenda of the agent. On the realtor side of the risk management calculation, using the MLS is seamlessly in line with one's fiduciary duty and reduces legal risks that would otherwise creep into one's practice. So, really, why on earth take extraordinary measures to get around it?
Thank you for that information. That was very helpful. The Risk Management Forum will take place on Friday, November 8th, from 12:30 to 2:30 p.m. in the Moscone Center, room 302. We would like to remind our audience that this podcast was recorded on October 22nd, 2013. Information provided in the podcast may no longer be current, and listeners should confirm independently its accuracy.